Well, it's a privilege at any time, any opportunity to minister the word, and especially to you. I just really appreciate the opportunity. And if you think about it this week, definitely lift up, you know, these needs that we have mentioned in here. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of times we pray and then it's just human nature, just kind of out of sight, out of mind, and it drifts away. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray and lift these needs up as you think about it. If you do have that, we're going to talk about being in focus tonight. And if you have that YouVersion Bible app, the notes are on there. I didn't put all how to get there. If you don't know how, I could show you another time, but I didn't put it on there. But what I'm going to talk about tonight, kind of, you know, Christy did such a good job speaking on Sunday, and some of what she was talking about with focus, I was just been pondering and thinking about, and I wanted to take a piece of that and go just a little further in a little different direction with you tonight. So I don't want to hurt anybody's eyes tonight, but as you see up there on those words, you know, you've got, I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you before, but when I was in high school, it was that long before I realized I needed glasses. And my dad had glasses, my sister had glasses, but their glasses were the really, back then, the really thick ones. So they couldn't see without their glasses, they're not legally blind, but they can't see. I could see. I was fine. I mean, I played football, I played softball, I played tennis, I did all these things, but I had no idea my eyesight was so bad. And one time went in for a routine checkup, and the doctor says, "Wow, you need glasses." And I said, "Really? I don't want glasses. I mean, I just thought they were just a nuisance. I didn't care how they looked. It was just a nuisance." So my senior year in high school, I got glasses. I could not believe it. When I walked out, you know, if you live your whole life out of focus and you don't know it, you don't know it. Does that make sense? That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But do you hear what I'm saying? I didn't even know what I couldn't see. I remember walking out of the optometrist's office and just standing on the curb and looking like, "Oh, wow, you can see all the leaves from here." I mean, I knew you could see them when you get close, but from across the street, I never realized you could see all the individual leaves with 20/20 vision. I didn't know. Here, this is really pathetic, because I love the outdoors, and I've always, my whole family, we've camped, hiked all my life, and I remember that night walking outside and going, "Oh, look at all the stars." I've looked at stars my whole life. I've laid on my back as a kid and looked at them and found the constellations, but I couldn't see them all. I didn't even know what I was missing because I was out of focus, and I didn't even know. I actually remember looking up like that, and I was kind of mad. And I thought, what else have I been missing? I couldn't even see that. Not everything was that great, though, because I realized that a lot of people don't wash their hair every day, because I didn't know that before. I'd never been that close to them, but from a distance, I thought, oh, ooh, okay. So some things weren't that great to see. But you know what was cool is I never thought about, like, I knew I had to sit. I guess I just naturally sat closer to the board. But I didn't have to. I could actually see that, you know, we actually had chalkboards back then, but the chalk dust. Remember how you'd write with chalk and you'd have the hard line, but then there's that little fuzz that sometimes would come off the edge of the chalk? I could see that. Never could see that before. Okay. When I played softball a lot back then, and I was always an outfielder. I don't know why, but anyway, they used to always make fun of me because they thought I was always, they call it hot dogging. Because a lot of times I'd be out there, and at the last minute, I'd catch the ball with my throwing hand and then throw it in. What they didn't know is I couldn't really see the ball. I thought I could. I saw it coming, and I thought I was lined up just right, and all of a sudden, it's right here instead of here. So when they thought I was being a hot dog and just grabbing it and throwing it in, that's not what was happening. I actually couldn't see the ball. But now, with glasses on, I remember standing out in the outfield and just like, oh my gosh, I can see it come off the bat from out here. I didn't even know that before. Used to be, and they would say, "Why do you wait so long to start running after? You're just trying to get there at the last minute and show off." And like, and I remember them saying that. And I'm thinking, I don't know what, I thought I was trying hard. They had no idea. Totally revolutionized my tennis game. I'm serious. I had no idea what I couldn't see. I was so out of focus. Years later, when we lived in the LA area, the high schools up there are so big. Our high schools would run close to 4,000, most of the schools. So a graduating class could be 900 students or more. And so you'd sit through a high school graduation. It gets really boring. I mean, that's a lot of names to read. And especially if you're there for three or four or five kids and you're thinking, when are they going to get to the kid I know? And the stadium's full. They do it outside in their outdoor, you know, football stadiums, and you couldn't see anything anyway. So we'd always take binoculars. I remember I had this favorite pair of binoculars, and we were sitting on the very top row, and somehow they fell all the way down to the bottom. I remember walking down there and putting them up to my eyes, and they were out of kilter. They were focused, but just not the same. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get them to be the same. You know how annoying that is? I mean, you want it in focus, but I couldn't focus. And then I'm sure you're thinking, glasses, okay, I get the glasses part, the binoculars, yeah, okay. What's the kayak thing? Anybody have an idea? Can you guess? It's dumb. It's not dumb, but here's the deal. I used to kayak a lot in California and a lot in the ocean. I would spend my day off at least 2-3 hours in the ocean kayaking around rocks, out to piers, out to a lot of the oil derricks would be like a mile off the coast or 2 miles and go out and around those. And I did that a lot. So then one day I thought, you know what? There's some islands right off the coast. There's another I thing, but okay, they're right off the coast. And if you can see up here, it's kind of hard to see, I guess, but I'm going to point at it real quick. There's these islands. They're 15 miles off the coast right there. So there, right there is California. That's Port Hueneme, just south of Ventura. And that first little island is 15 miles off the coast. So I thought, well, I could do that. I've done that kind of stuff before. And I only had 1 weekend available to do it. And so I got out there. I had a compass. And I had all my gear. I had a tent because I was going to camp on the island. They've got caves on the island, sea caves. You can go inside the sea caves. And so I go and I check in. You got to get a permit to camp on the island. So I got that. And then I got ready to go in the morning, and it was all foggy. See, the ocean does this a lot where you get this inversion layer. It's not really clouds. It's not really even fog. It's kind of a layer of mist. And all I could see was barely see this oil derrick off the coast. But if I focused on it, see where I'm going with this? If I paid attention to that, here's my thinking. I thought, if I can make it there, then I can surely look back and see the coast. And I've got a compass. I know if I go due east, I'm going to hit California somewhere, right? Okay. So I thought, if I can get there, and maybe I can see something else, maybe the island will come into focus. Normally, the island kind of looks like this from the shore, but that day you couldn't see it at all. So here's what happened. I got going, and I'm kayaking out there, and because it's overcast, now see how beautiful that water looks? That's a reflection of the sun. When there's no sun, it's like an inky black. So I'm trying to focus, and as I'm looking out there, there's all these distractions that come up. Now, thank God it was a nice, calm day, because if there's waves and, you know, just wind, that can just wear you out in no time, you know. But as I'm kayaking, I just kept thinking, I know there's sharks in here. But, you know, it's a kayak. It's not like a surfboard or something. So I'm kayaking along, thinking everything's cool. And then, you know, you're out there, and you can't really hear anything. Then I started thinking, these are called the Channel Islands because there's a channel that goes between the mainland and these islands that super tankers go through. Have you ever seen a super tanker? It's bigger than this building. And they go at a speed of like 15 miles an hour. Well, the top speed of a kayak is like 5. So you cannot, if you're in a direct line of it, they can't see you for one thing. So all these thoughts are coming to my mind, and I thought, okay, well, if I can just focus on this, on that oil derrick, because I can barely see it. And the closer I get to it, the more in focus it comes, and I'm getting to my goal. I'm getting there. And as I'm going, I a few times I looked over my shoulder. What I didn't anticipate is, as I got closer, for some reason, land started to disappear quicker than I thought. But I knew where I was going. Does that make sense? Some of you are looking at me, I'm nuts, but I'm not. So this is kind of what it looked like at one point. So as I'm coming up on it, I see all these, if you looked in that picture on the right, you see all that stuff sticking out of the water? From a distance, I thought, what is that? And it's making these weird sounds, and it looked like boards. What it was all these sea lions. They'll just lay in the water with a flipper sticking up, just a random flipper, Like, why are you doing that? And then you get close to them and they chatter at you and it's kind of funny. And so then I get to the derrick. That's what it looked like. And every once in a while, one of these guys would just pop his head up. You'll be kayaking along, water's relatively calm, and all of a sudden you hear this. You look down, like, oh my goodness. And he just wants to see what's going on. You know, he'll stick his little face up at you and spit some air at you and then disappear. So that was exciting. Meanwhile, I'm just keeping focused. So I get to the oil derrick, and I can't see anything still. Now, I've got an idea of where land is. I'm cool with that. And I also had a compass, so I knew if I went due west, here's my plan. I'll go just as far till I lose sight of the oil derrick. Then I'll come back if I can't see anything. Doesn't that make sense? Thank you, Dave. So anyway, eventually this is what I saw. And you can see just the tip of an island in the clouds. And then I focus on that. And then I made it there. And it was amazing. And I would recommend it to any of you. Here's the point. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Here it's just inside of a cave. That's kind of what it looks like in some of them. Some of them are smaller, but a lot of them are that big. And then it's just an amazing, amazing experience. But here's the point. At any time, if I lost focus, I could have had a long, long day. A long, miserable, miserable day. Because there's ocean currents. You know, the currents don't go where I'm going. That's a distraction you can't even see, but it's moving you all the time. There's wind out there, and it blows you, and a lot of times you have no idea, because especially when you're in the middle of the ocean and there's no landmarks and there's nothing around, you have no idea for sure how much you're being blown. I mean, your compass bearing might be right, but if you keep focused on that goal, that was the key. That was the trick. Here's what I found in my spiritual life, that the more I focus on God, the less I see my problems. Because if I would have been freaked out too much by the water, what was funny too is I did the caves the next day and then rode the ferry back. And there was all these divers on the ferry. And one of them was carrying on his gear and it just looked extraordinarily heavy. I said, didn't you dive? And he goes, well, yeah, for a little bit, but there was a great white down there this week. He goes, this weekend there's a great white, so no one dove. Everybody came out. But well, that's cool. I didn't see him. But if I would have lost focus and focused on my problems, that could have changed everything. Instead, I kept my focus on what it needed to be on. The more I focus on God, the less I see my own problems. I want to add something to that, and we'll get back to that in a minute, but another thing to think about is the more I focus on the needs of others, the less important my needs become too. Here's something I've noticed. That we tend to look around and we focus on things that maybe aren't our true focus, and it might be other people. It could even be other people's successes. And that starts to ruin our focus. We may have frustrations that take us out of focus, and we don't head toward the goal. Oh, that's hard to see. 2 Corinthians says, we live by faith and not by sight. Hard to do though, isn't it? Honestly, isn't it difficult sometimes? Because you know what you're supposed to do, you know what you're supposed to believe, but sometimes it gets so difficult because you can't, I mean, all these other things seem so much bigger than what your goal is and what you're looking toward. I want to take us kind of on a trip here through Psalm 73. And as I was reading Psalm 73 in my Bible reading, I laughed out loud a ton of times. You know why? Because it reminded me of me. And it reminded me of people that I know who struggle keeping on their focus because other things and other people take them off of that. Let's take a look at it for just a moment. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. And I'm sure none of us have ever felt like that, but maybe, maybe not. Not today. Here's the thing. My secretary at Sheffield, she was a wonderful lady, super fit, And she would walk like 3 miles a day. She took all these vitamins. One day she came to the office in tears because she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And I remember one day sitting in the office, I just said, Jan, how are you doing? How are you doing? Now, I'm not talking about her physical condition. I was talking about her. And she just got real honest. And she just said, this is not fair. And I thought she was talking about being a Christian and all that, which is, a lot of people feel that. That as a Christian, we should be exempt from all problems, physical or otherwise. This is what she said, though. I didn't expect this, but it makes sense. She said, I've worked at staying healthy. And she just started, she was really frustrated. So she started naming names. So-and-so, they don't do anything for their health. They're fine. And here I am with she had a really aggressive form, and God bless her, it was awesome. God healed her. She's cancer-free. She's gone through all her checkups. Now this is like eight years ago or something. She's really doing great. But in that moment, I really appreciated her honesty. Caught me by surprise, because I didn't see that coming. But that's really honest. It's true. There's a lot of times where we feel like, hey, I don't deserve this. This shouldn't happen to me. Yeah, them, maybe, but not me. Look at the next three verses. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. Now, this is a New Living Translation. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? It's kind of haunting when you read the Bible and it sounds like your own thoughts sometimes. Because there's been times where I've asked God, what are you doing? Don't you see this isn't how it's supposed to be? And I'm not even just for me sometimes. There's a lot of you, a lot of people I know and love where I'm thinking, God, this isn't the way it should be. It isn't. You look at a family and think, God, why? It's just so cruel and horrible. We should probably, you know what? We should probably pray too for, we need to do this. Mike and Michelle Landvik, Mike's sister is not a Christian and has never been a Christian. And her husband, just their 2-month-old baby just died of SIDS. And they're destroyed, absolutely destroyed. So the Landviks were there this last weekend. They took like a couple days off and went for the whole weekend. And she was just telling me that it was the hardest thing they've ever done to even be around them, to minister to them, because every few minutes she would just break down. And you look at that, and they tried, she said they've tried for years and years to get pregnant. You know how that is, right? You've how many times has someone got pregnant, like maybe a teenager or something, or a horrible situation, pregnancy, and then you think, and then there's these wonderful people who can't have a baby. Can we just stop for a moment and pray for them? I don't even know her name. God, I pray for Mike's sister and husband, and I pray for the situation that they're in and their hearts that are crushed, just crushed. God, I know they desperately need you, and I don't know that they're even looking toward you right now. But I pray that they would. I pray because of Michelle and Mike being in their lives. And I pray that you would send person after person to minister to them. Just even random people. People that they know that would just speak into their lives. That would draw them into relationship with you. God, I know your heart's desire is to comfort and to love them. And to heal them. And I pray, God, that you would do that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. I can't think of many things worse than that. But having said that, the author of this psalm basically is saying, woe is me. And then in verse number 12, he kind of sums it up and he says, look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Then it gets a little worse. He says this, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every moment brings me pain. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. It's tough, isn't it? Because there's times where you look and you think, God, I've tried so hard. I've been faithful. I've done this and this and this. It's almost like we get to a bargaining deal with God where we say, God, please, this is what should happen. And in the process, it's really easy to take your focus off what's true and to get distracted on things that will just drive and pull you away from your true focus. It's really easy to do, and it's totally understandable, but it's also wrong. And it's also something that will destroy your heart from the inside out. Your focus determines your perspective on everything, on everything. Do evil men deserve all the great things they get in life? No. Does anybody deserve anything we get in life? Isn't that part of the problem? Because we get the idea that we do deserve things. And when we act like that and we have that heart and mindset, then there's no room for gratitude then. Because then when you get what you think you deserved, you're not even thankful because you thought you deserved it in the first place. You see the difference? As a Christian, we hopefully will realize we don't deserve anything. Not only do we not, of course they don't. That doesn't explain why they have it, but no, they don't deserve it either. Can't we be happy for other people's blessings? This kind of hurts too, because I'm sure you've had this happen where somebody gets something you wanted. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's a fishing reel, maybe it's a smoker, I'm kidding. Maybe, I love my smoker. A shotgun, could be. Maybe it's that relationship that they have that you wanted and don't have. Maybe it's that child. There's so many things. And in our heart of hearts, there's times where God would want us to celebrate their blessing, but we can't because our focus is on the wrong thing. Instead of our focus being on God, the supplier of everything, our focus is on what we want and what we think we should have. And we're grasping after those things, and we can't be thankful for them. Can't be. Do we only serve God in the good times? And only act like a Christian when everything's going well? It would be so different if we were only focused on what God sees. Then your direction would be true, and you would be heading toward the goals that he wants for you. Then everything would be in its proper order. Everything else would be peripheral, and you could glance at it and look at it, but your focus is still straight on him and what he wants, on the higher good, on their salvation, on the best things. Then everything else is put in its proper perspective. Look at what the psalmist sees here in verse 17. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, I saw that they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Sounds a little vindictive, but the truth is, I know you've seen the bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toys still dies. It's, you know, what does it matter, ultimately? None of that really, really matters. You know, and I'm sure you've seen this too. You know, you never see a hearse pulling a trailer. It just doesn't work that way. None of that stuff brings you life. And none of it really brings you life eternal, for sure. For sure. Our focus on God will also reveal things about you. There's something true about Scripture as you read it. I don't remember who said this, but they said, I don't really read Scripture, but it reads me. As you go to the Word, I challenge you to do this. As you open it, whether you're doing a reading plan or a devotional, reading one verse or chapters at a time, I challenge you to ask God to really speak to you through what you're reading. I know you know this, but it's amazing. You can never plumb the depths of Scripture. Seems as many times as I read it, over and over, I see things I didn't see before, and God speaks to me in ways he never spoke to me before. And part of it is because I'm at a different place in life or a maturity level. And part of it is certain things you just didn't see the connection before. But he does it. And the more you focus on God, the more you will see the impurities in your own self. And the more you walk after him, the more he will show you where you fall short. And maybe it is in looking at others and having a struggle with being happy for them and their blessing. Maybe it will be that. Here's what the psalmist says. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. Other versions flat out say stupid. I think some Bible translators, they don't want to write stupid because it sounds so crass, but that's the same word. Foolish is pretty, that's as bad as it gets. The psalmist realized that he was in desperate need because all of his envy over the rich or all of that, even being happy that they would find punishment in the end, he realized that that made him bitter and torn up inside. He was foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, he writes. Oh my goodness. Sometimes we see our lives as actual evidence of what God is or isn't doing. That's a mistake. Because the truth is, God is working and moving all the time. All the time. You cannot judge God by what's happening in your life. Because typically it's us. We either prevent his moving or we invite his moving. We're either moving toward him or we're moving away. He's always there ready to move. Always. Always. It's all about us and our attitude there. I found this quote yesterday, and I put it online today, but Timothy Keller, he said, I'm going to judge my circumstances by Jesus' love, not Jesus' love by my circumstances. I will never blame him for the bad things in my life or the bad things I'm doing. None of that, because that's not how it works. Stories told of a lady who grew up in the hills of Tennessee, small town, loved country music. And how many of you know what's the highlight of country music? Remember the Good Old Opry? Grand Old Opry. She saved her money. And so by the time she had enough money to go, she was an older lady. So she went. She had a nice hotel. She checks in. Never had anybody carry her bags before, and the bellhop takes her bags and starts escorting to her room. As soon as the door closed, she started yelling. She goes, I may be a country hazy, but I am not stupid. I paid for a room, and this is not even a nice room. And he said, ma'am, this is an elevator. Too many times we don't see the whole picture like God does. Too many times we judge everything by all we know, but all we know is just a portion of it. Like when I didn't have glasses before. I still laugh at myself. I mean, I just look at that and think, oh my goodness, how many years could I not see? Just stupid. Oh, that's out of the Bible. A stupid word. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guard me. You guide me with counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I have in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. You know, as I was reading this, I started thinking about Job. I used to not enjoy reading the book of Job because it's so horrible and his friends are so mean. You know, and But I've gained a new appreciation for him, and I just admire him. Everything he went through, he never, ever cursed God. All he did, he kept a righteous outlook toward God the whole time, over and over. And even when God challenged him, he still was penitent and said, God, yes, you're the one. Look at this says, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. The focus needs to be on God above all things. All things. He's the one who will sustain you. He's the one who will take you from trial to trial, joy to joy, valley to valley, mountaintop to mountaintop. He sees the perspective that we'll never see, not only in our lives, but then those other people's lives as well. I don't remember who said this either, but a lot of times we compare our whole life and all of our horrible things to other people's highlight reels. And I think part of, you know, social media does that, part of people's Christmas letters. You know how you get something and people telling you all the best things that ever happened, and we went here and we did this and we have this and we have this and my kids are awesome. And but you know what? God knows all of that. The inside, the outside. He knows the story behind the story. And how many times have we walked into church, put a smile on our face, dressed up, did your hair, and inside you're dying and nobody knows. And you're looking at somebody who could be just making it all up in front and two because they want us to think everything's great, and that's not real. But God knows both of those things. And as you focus on him, that will walk you through all of that, and you will have a heart for them and compassion for them rather than wanting to see them destroyed. We don't walk by faith. I mean, we do walk by faith, not by sight. We have to. So how do we correct our focus? How do we do it? How do we adjust our focus and fix it? All of us need an adjustment from time to time, all of us. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how perfect your life is, we all need that adjustment from time to time. One of the things I really appreciate about Christ and Christianity is that God takes every one of us as an individual. I'm not compared to Dan Yates. I can't compare to Dan Yates. I can't. Can't compare to Jerry. I mean, there are people in this room I admire so much in all the things in their life. I cannot compare to you guys, but I don't have to. I'm responsible for me and my God. And as I focus on him and follow him, he makes that clear and puts everything else in perspective. So how do we do it? It all comes down to time. Time. Word, worship, and prayer. Time. Focus on him. Focus on him. If you haven't found a Bible version that you enjoy enough to spend time in it, talk to me. I could help you with that. There are great versions. There are things and places to read which you would really enjoy that will start to come alive to you. We all struggle from time to time. And if you pray and ask God, God, please, I pray this over my kids. I pray this over me. God, make your word come alive. Speak to me today through this word. Someone said this to me once, and I've mentioned it in here before, but the first time they said it, it caught me a little off guard because of the words they used, but they said the Bible is a spiritual book. Of course it is. But they said, no. It's the living word of God. It's the only book you can read that the author speaks to you as you're reading it. Now, I've read other books and thought, wow, I kind of know this author now. But the Bible's supernaturally that way. You realize that? It's a book. It's not just a dry piece of paper. It's something that if you read it, it will come alive to you. Prayer can be a struggle, certainly, depending on the time of day, what else is happening, your schedule, your frustration level, all those things. But I challenge you, do it. I wanted to share something with you because it's just something I've started doing lately that I didn't invent it or anything. In fact, I was trying to come up with some more words because I was brainstorming my own words, and then I ran out of words, and then you just look on the internet and someone else is smarter has thought of it already. But lately I've been doing this thing where I'm worshiping God, and I've just been going through the alphabet and worshiping him, just a way to worship him different and longer, and I've been worshiping him by different letters of the alphabet. I know that sounds weird, but here's what I'm saying. I would start off in prayer and I would say, Abba Father, thank you for being Almighty God. And then as I'm going, I'll try to think of a B word that fits worship. Does that make sense? Okay. So I went online, and I mean, I could think of like two or three for each letter at the most. And of course, there's many more than that. I want to do that with us tonight for just a minute. If we're worshiping him and praising him, things you could worship him for might be attributes of his character, things he's done, things you're thankful for that he's done. Can we do that for a minute? What are some A words that come to your mind that you would worship him for? It could be things like, God, you are awesome. Zach, what's an A word? Awesome. That is an awesome word. I love that word. Awesome. Any other A words come to mind? Alpha. Yes, Alpha and Omega. Amazing. Almighty. Look at this. All-knowing. Absolute. Good. You realize we're worshiping him. I mean, and you do this all the time, but I'm just putting a different form to your worship. How about some B words? Beautiful. Beloved. Bread of life. Bridegroom. Bright and morning star. Beginning and end. Beloved of the Father. How about some C words? Creator. Comforter, cornerstone. How about some D words? Just whatever comes to your mind. Desire, deliverer, I love it. Dad, that's good. I didn't have that one down. That's really good. Dwelling place, defender, the door. You know, John talks about him as the door. And E is eternal life. Everlasting and everlasting Father, faithful and true witness, the firstborn of creation, forgiving, friend, fortress, gate, God of the angel armies. I love how the prophets call him that. The good shepherd, gracious, the great I am, the head of the church, our healer, our helper, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy Spirit, the great I am. Image of the invisible God, Emmanuel, immortal, inheritance. And a lot of times I just put words to it too, and I'll say, Jehovah Jireh, thank you for being my provider. And I just pray through that. If you're struggling with times and worship in the Word, there are so many tools you can use to do that. And just eventually I find myself just overwhelmed by who he is, by who he is. I want to invite you to participate in that. Dave, if you could put some music on. I don't know what time it is, but let's go to him for a few minutes and just spend some time in worship and prayer to him. Father God, we want our focus to be on you and you alone. God, I do not want to be distracted by anything.